This is False Start. For those of y'all who rocked with us yesterday, appreciate y'all joining us for the debut episode. We are back. What's today? Wednesday. My week is all thrown off here, Keenan,
because we debuted
on a Tuesday. We got the draft on Thursday. But again, thank you for joining us. I am Eric Henry, Texas beat writer, football, basketball, horns, 24/7, 24/7 sports. Joined as always by my guy, cleanly shaven. My
God, sir,
Mr. Five Lunch Breaks himself, Keenan Womack. Keenan, what's going on, dude?
That beard was getting a little out of control, man. I was starting to look like a guy who might start writing a manifesto. You know, I had to shave that thing off, start mailing anthrax to politicians. I wanted to look a little cleaner, and I just did it at like 3 a.m. last night. Just
looking good. Listen, as someone who cannot grow a facial hair worth a damn, that's why I just keep this little, you know, deal here.
That's a good look, though.
I've been rolling with this since I was like 15, and that's kind of what we got. You know what I mean? So, but hey, like I said, appreciate y'all rocking with us. Day number 2, Texas Sports Unfiltered. Thank you to Corey Mose, KVU anchor,
joined
us yesterday for the debut episode. Keenan, before we get into things here, you know, we got a lot we want to cover. NFL draft. Jordan Pope is supposed to drop his commitment sometime today. It was supposed to be yesterday, so we'll see what's going on with that. Of course, we're going to get in a little bit of NBA playoffs you want to talk about. Terrence Brooks entering the transfer portal. A lot of things we're going to cover in our hour. But, you know, for those of you, again, who were joining us yesterday, you know this about it. But maybe just join us for the first time. I'm still a newbie to Austin. I've been here about 10 months. And Keenan, I believe you are from the DFW area. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm a vet of Austin, though. I've been here since 2012. So,
but okay. So here's kind of just what I want to ask you really quick.
You're
a Texan. I mean, obviously, right? You're born. Okay. Why does it feel like, again, granted, most of my time in Austin, I've been working, but I've had better experiences as far as social life, just going out. The few times on the road I've been out in specifically Fort Worth, I've had good times in Fort Worth and in Houston.
Yeah.
So just can you kind of, you know, me being a newbie to the state, just kind of give me the lay of the land of, you know, maybe those three and what am I missing as a newbie to Austin?
Yeah, man. So if you're looking for towns, there's like two kinds of towns in Texas that people want to go to. There's big cities, Houston, Dallas, San Antonio, you know, Austin, I guess, at this point. And then there's just cool cities you want to go to, like Fort Worth, Denton is in there, San Marcos is in there. So it's kind of like what vibe you're going for, you know? I mean, technically, someone's been to West 7th and Fort Worth. I have, with the Sigma Chi's, 2013. Good time. TCU, baby. No, I went up and visited my friend at TCU. We had a good time. But, yeah, man, it's Denton is, like, the most underrated place.
Denton. Okay.
For North Texas is UNT. And it's like a true college town, you know.
Gotcha.
It's like what Austin was in the 60s, kind of.
I've been to Denton once. I covered a game out there, covered a North Texas game out there. I mean, I'm looking forward to now that I've got a little bit of summer, you know, spring football. Once we get through the draft, things will kind of slow down a little bit. I'll have about 6 to 8 weeks. I'm going to go home to Florida for a little bit, see some fam, but try to spend at least like 5 weeks out here in Texas just bouncing up and down, want to hit Houston, want to do some things here in Austin. You know, Barton Springs, I've been here 10 months. I haven't even been there. A bunch of things I want to do in Austin. So I just want to bounce off you really quick. Chris Bennett, as always, appreciate you rocking with us. We got Ruse Groofy going. Appreciate you rocking with us as well. Day 2 of False Start. All right, man, let's jump into things. And really why I want to start, because I think it's the biggest breaking news of just as far as football, I shouldn't say breaking news, but the biggest story is Terrence Brooks to the transfer portal. Keenan, you're talking about a guy who was a third in terms of snaps played the third most snaps on the team last year for Texas, the most snaps by any cornerback. You kind of forget, Keenan, that, you know, Ryan Watts was banged up a little bit last year. Obviously, Jahdae Barron was banged up a little bit last year. Manny Muhammad is a freshman. Gavin Holmes, they kind of split some reps. Terrence Brooks was the guy who played the most amount of snaps, but could be described as solid at best. And now some of the reporting is coming out that, you know, it was a mutual decision. It was not, you know, hey, Terrence Brooks feeling any hard feelings or Steve Sarkisian and staff kind of want him out. It was a mutual decision. And you kind of wonder how much of that was spurred on by the spring and maybe coming on a little bit heavy. He's at 209. which is about 10 pounds higher than we played last year. So really quick, again, you know, I know you'll probably lean on me for more of the football stuff, but just want to get your thoughts on kind of that entry. First big name of the offseason to enter the transfer portal.
Yeah, I think, you know, this is a thing that I was already kind of concerned about, right, was the defensive backfield position. And this is a starter, man. This is a guy that's going to play a lot of reps this year if he comes back. And, maybe he's not the best on the team, but I was talking to our guy Doc Texas on Twitter, and we were sort of talking about how he feels a little more confident about the corners than I do.
Okay.
And basically what I was saying was I think they need to go headhunting for, like, a big-time corner in the portal. And, like, yeah, I know that's obvious, but, you know, sometimes you don't go all out for every guy you can't afford to. They need to go all out like they're doing with this Dominic Williams kid from TCU. They need to go all out with some corner. I don't know what some of the corners in the portal are right now. I mean, there's Cormani McClain, but apparently there's a ton of issues with him. I don't know what the deal is. I've just seen him play, and he was pretty good when I watched him, but I don't know. There might be off the field stuff. So, I don't know. I mean, it's obviously not ideal to lose a guy, but I guess it's more relief that it was a mutual decision and not like he just bounced because, you know, X reason.
Yeah. Steven Vasek, appreciate you rocking with us, saying that performance from the spring game, not a good look. The coaching staff with the DBs, will it hurt recruiting if people aren't getting developed? It's a great question. I mean, that is a Terry Joseph PK question. I think, you know, in my opinion, and I'm going to come to what you kind of said about Cormani McClain in a second, someone from my neck of the woods, he's from Polk County. That's about 30 minutes from where I'm from in Florida. So I can speak to kind of that range and that area where players are there. But it is interesting because I take a look at a guy, and again, I only have really the 1 year sample size for me, but I think Manny Muhammad's coming along nice. I do think they've been able to recruit fairly well, but to the point, if those guys aren't developing the way you'd expect, then it's just talent, right? And then at that point, again, to use a Florida example, you're just Miami, right? Miami's had five-star recruiting class for the past 15 years and ain't gotten shit out of it, right? So that is certainly a fair point there. As far as Cormani McClain, here's the thing, and I guess I'll kind of give some background for people watching. He's from Polk County area, Lakeland, Florida. It's, gosh, it'd probably be analogous. I would call it like a Killeen in a sense. Not the biggest town. It's sandwiched in between Tampa and Orlando. And as a result, now Polk County's put out some big time guys, most notably Ray Lewis. Ray Lewis is the most notable guy to come out of Lakeland in that area. And that comes with a legendary high school, Lakeland High School, but all the high schools in that area, really strong football programs. The thing is, and again, I don't know what would be analogous. Maybe some of the guys watching in the chat can give me something. I don't know what would be analogous to small town Texas. But small town Florida, you just don't have a lot of the resources. And I mean, we've talked about high school football juxtaposed comparison, you know, Texas to Florida. Jeff and I have done that on his show when I filled in for Jordan and in other places. But especially in Florida, Keenan, you don't have the big time. First off, you don't have coaches making full time salaries. Like, that's just step one. You don't have the weight programs. You got a lot of raw kids who are super athletic, who, the best way I can put it is, they don't always get the best coaching. And as a result, let's use Austin Westlake as an example, right? I know Ethan Burke's father, if memory serves me correct, or it might be Cole Vosick's father, I'm trying to remember, I'm getting flip off my head, is defensive line coach there, but played at Texas, right?
I think it's
Vosick's.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I think it's Vosick's dad, yeah.
You don't have that type of guy who just returns home to the high school program and develops kids, right? So as a result, a kid like Cormani McClain, he's had 8 voices in his head since the time he's 15 years old, right? It's not an off-field character issue as much as it is just he needs to be, and that's why the Colorado thing was always a little bit iffy for me.
Yeah.
Not that Deion Sanders isn't, you know, an excellent cornerback, right? But we were talking about someone who's going to be around just structure, stabilize coaching, yeah, someone who's going to give him those fundamentals. That, in my mind, isn't Colorado in that sense. So I can understand why Cormani McClain, while certainly being recruited or there was some interest in Texas, but seemingly that's kind of tailed off a little bit. The guy who I would have wanted to see them get, and I'm going to be honest with you, I'm saying I'm surprised that they didn't get him, was Jabbar Muhammad, who ended up going to Oregon. You know, that's the one who I thought for sure want to come home, make it a family thing. You know, yeah. Malik Muhammad, and of course his cousin, their cousin Amina Muhammad, was on the women's basketball team. Now she just entered the transfer portal, but I thought everything had lined up there to kind of really get that type of talent. But we'll see, Keenan, because I think the big thing for me, what that means for Texas going forward, in terms of the cornerback situation, is this. And Chip Brown and I talked about it a little bit on our Horns 24/7 flagship podcast. Go check it out on YouTube. Seemingly, Keenan, they're pretty high on Jalen Gilboa's return from his 2022 form where he suffered a knee injury.
Yeah.
And if they're confident enough to put him back in the star role, which Steve Sarkisian has been adamant, hey, the star, we ask a lot out of him. You got to play in the box. You got to cover. You got to, you know, run fit. You got to tackle. You got to communicate. And Jahdae Barron has done all those things in my mind to an extremely high level. But if they feel confident enough in Jalen Gilboa to, you know, return to his 2022 form, at least athletically, excuse me, then maybe you can push Jahdae Barron out to corner. Maybe that helps a little bit, and we'll see what they do on the portal. As our guy Glenn Vargas says, I'm describing Del Valle, like tons of talent, but no one wants to coach those kids. So that's kind of the situation there with Cormier McClain. But yeah, Ken, it's definitely interesting. And, you know, I think more than anything else with that secondary, and I wrote about this, that they gave up a lot of yards last year, but that's because teams, you know, and you saw the games, so I'll kind of toss it back to you on this one. The teams couldn't run the football against Texas. I think of the Iowa State game specifically, that night game where, you know, Gerard Hufford ran off at the mouth talking about the five-star culture versus five-star talent, and they don't know what they're in for and blah, 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 which ironically he's returning for another year. So I kind of wish, you know, Texas had another
five-star year, his fifth year.
Kind of wish Texas had another shot at him. But I was there in Ames covering that game, Keenan, and Iowa State basically abandoned the run after the first quarter. So you take a look at Rocco Becht. I think he threw for 315 yards, 24-32. Again, not necessarily numbers that you want to allow, but that's because you had to pass, right? You weren't running. So I'll toss it back to you on this before we kind of move on to a little bit of NBA playoff stuff I know you want to get to.
Yeah, no, we can get to that in a second. But yeah, I think what's important about the corner position in particular is so much to me of the corner problems last year were related to the fact that Texas was not getting sacks. They'd get some pressure, you know, they get interior line pressure, but off the edge, they didn't have a ton of production. It's just the way it is. They just didn't have a ton of sacks versus some of the other top defensive teams in college football. So I think some of those, you know, like I think the quarterback sometimes just had enough time to find the right. You can only guard a guy so long on the outside as a corner, right? There's only so many things you can do. You got about 4 or 5 seconds, maybe you can cover them, and then it's up for grabs. And that's no fault of the corner either. That's just, you know, I think from everything I've heard about Colin Simmons, dude looks like a starter as a freshman. From everything I've heard about Trey Moore, he's awesome. So I think the secondary will be aided a little bit more by the fact that they're going to get more pressure on the signal callers.
Yeah, no doubt. JSDTX, who dropped that comment, Texas cannot be bottom in the secondary, bottom in secondary stats. I agree. I mean, to all the things, I think, you know, they did a hurry, get some quarterback, a fair amount of quarterback hurries last year, not, you know, necessarily a ton of sacks as you would have liked. But overall, I mean, I can find ways to rationalize the passing numbers, but you don't want to be 113th in anything if you're Texas or 12th in the conference. But let's transition to a little NBA hoops here, man. I know you had a chance to watch the Mavs game. As I said, you are a DFW guy. Luka Doncic really came through. I mean, he's got the Rangers. I love that. I love that. I'm going to start repping some more Tampa stuff as we're here on the show. But nah, man, listen, a game that, you know, just would love to get your thoughts on it. I mean, from my vantage point, it seems like when Luka's locked in and playing defense and really putting that effort in defensively, you're getting a different Mavs team. And I was never high, Keenan, on that Kyrie Luka combo. Like, I think Kyrie is a head case, to be completely honest. I mean, I know he's kind of been on his best behavior in Dallas because I thought that was really he wanted to get paid. But nevertheless, I don't think even now that combination is a winning combination. But hey, they're playing a Clippers team. You know, Kawhi's been banged up, Paul George. seems a little bit, you know, obviously inconsistent from time to time. It's certainly capable of being an all-star forward, but it depends on what you get from him. So this is kind of your thoughts on what you saw last night out of your Mavs.
Yeah, man. I mean, just the dawn. But what I want to say is I think the Luka Kyrie thing, when people were criticizing that when it first started, they were saying they can't play together. There's two ball dominant guards in an offense. How is this going to work? What they figured out was they just did what the Houston Rockets did when they had Harden and Chris Paul, you know, because Harden and Luka are very similar players. Now, Chris Paul and Kyrie aren't, but they're both guards that figured out a role that they don't have to have the ball in their hands at all times. Like Jake Bayless gets it. Yeah. Kyrie played off ball with LeBron. He let LeBron be the primary ball handler when he was in Cleveland. And that's what Kyrie is doing now. He doesn't need to be the star. He's quick off ball. He's able to get open. And, you know, I get that. I get the anti-Kyrie sentiment. But, you know, from everything I've seen in Dallas, I don't know. It's weird. I just had a feeling for some reason when he came to Dallas, he would just stop being an ass. And he has. And I don't know whether that's maturity or he just wanted the bag or whatever it is. I don't care what it is. Because I don't think Kyrie's a bad guy. I just think he has bad opinions.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know him personally, right? So I mean, I'm not calling him a bad guy. I don't know him to make that assessment. But yeah. His takes, for lack of a better phrase, are wild.
Not great.
I'll leave it at that. But how far do you think? Because the West to me feels kind of. Look at Phoenix. You know, I had Phoenix winning the West entering this year.
Really? Oh, yeah. Entering the year. Okay.
Yeah, entering the year.
Okay, I was going to say entering the playoffs. That's a hot take.
Nah. And we'll see what happens. But they're on the ropes. You know, I think OKC really, really young. But kind of what's your take on the West and maybe the Mavs kind of ceiling here? And also want to ask you again, I know you're a DFW guy, so obviously that's how the Mavs fandom comes in. But just kind of curious your breakdown of the state, like – because I'm still learning the fandoms, you know, especially being here in Central Texas. I know, obviously, like, you know, football, Cowboys, like, you get that, right? But it feels like this area that we're in is more so because of the proximity to San Antonio. You got a lot of Spurs fans. I've seen some Rockets fans as well. So maybe talk to that a little bit. But, yeah, man, just kind of your thoughts on you know, the ceiling of this Mavs team.
Yeah, well, real quick on the whole statewide thing. Central Texas is basically all Spurs. Central Texas is home to the worst kind of sports fan to me, which is Dallas Cowboys, San Antonio Spurs, Houston Astros. Come on, dude. Come on. You don't get to do that. You don't get to pick three different. You don't get to pick the best team in each city and then just roll with that. Come on. Have some loyalty. If you're from San Antonio, you get to be a Spurs fan, but then you pick your two teams in either Dallas or Houston. So, you know. You don't get to just pick and choose, man. Sorry, that's me on my soapbox.
Go for it.
Keenan just called it R. Yeah, I mean, it's like anybody from Austin. All of my friends from Austin have that exact fandom. All like I have my old roommates from. I'm a Spurs fan. Hate the Mavs. Fair enough. But yeah, no, it's. I think this Mavericks team. This team is pretty much inarguably better than. The 2022 team that went to the Western Conference Finals lost in 5 or 6 to the Warriors.
Six,
the Warriors. So I think this team is really – they fixed their main holes, which was like in that 2022 series against the Warriors. Jeez. They got just destroyed inside. And against the Clippers in their two playoff series, destroyed inside. If it's a Zubats, just like looked like Hakeem Olajuwon. Dude, he was just diamond, and it was insane. And he dominated the Mavericks the first two series they played against. They had no answer for him. They had no answer for Kevon Looney with the Dubs, man. Like, so you go ahead and you fix that problem in the offseason. Partially, you draft Derek Lively, then you supplement the center position with the Daniel Gafford deal, and you add in PJ Washington in that deal too. They gave up like nothing for that. For that deal, man. Like, I mean, Washington's just sell everything right now because they're gonna be the number one pick this year, probably. And they're probably gonna take Alex Starr, who's a center. So, I mean, it makes sense that they shipped off Gafford. But man, I'm so impressed with the, you get punched in the mouth game one to come back on the road, battle back. Like, they gave up a big lead, that, you know, it was not an easy win in game two, but they just kept fighting. Neither team scored 100 points. That's how you know a game is at first. And let me say something else too. Ty Lue, his defensive schemes are brilliant. That guy is a freaking genius when it comes to X's and O's. Like almost every single after timeout play was a bucket. Like, Ty Lue is one of the most underrated coaches in the sport. I will scream that from the rooftops. And it sucks that the Mavericks have to play against his team because he's a really good coach.
Oh, man. Nah, no doubt. Keenan, I want to ask you something really quick before we transition, because there's a hot topic that I stumbled into. Again, me still being a newbie to the state. You know, I tweeted something out about Reggie Bush getting his Heisman back, and I forgot who, you know, that involved. But, yo, man, how'd you get the nickname Mr. Five Lunch Breaks? Explain that.
All right. Well, me and a couple of buddies in high school started a fake rap group called the Limp Boys. We never made music. We just, like, it was just a stupid joke we did in high school. And we all had rap names. My friend was Mr. Thanksgiving. My other friend was, I can't remember, it was something I can't say on the show. And then mine is Mr. Five Lunch Breaks. And we were just, like, these terrible rappers. It was really embarrassing. But I just thought the nickname was funny because it's like, not to brag or anything, but, like, I do have a pretty good work ethic. Like, I'm a guy that works pretty hard at stuff. And just having Mr. Five Lunch Breaks as your moniker is a very funny, ironic nickname. So that's where I've been rocking with that for, like, a few years now. I just think it's ridiculous and just works for me.
Yo, for those of y'all, again, who are rocking with us on day two, there's going to be a little bit of this conversation because Keenan and I, as we talked about, kind of just got thrown together. So we're still learning each other. So, like, I'm going to ask you, Keenan, how old are you, by the way?
I'm 30, my friend.
Okay, all right. So we're in the same range. Like, I'm turning 30, I'm turning 33 in a couple
of years. Okay, yeah. I figured you're about my age.
Yeah, so we're in the same range. So I just kind of wanted to get a feel for that, because we definitely will have some references when it comes to hip-hop and whatnot.
I'm a hip-hop head, my friend. That's my thing, dude.
Chris Bennett dropping it. How much does Bill Norton charge for a beat? Listen, it was suggested yesterday. I can't remember who said it, that Bill Norton, we should get him to do something for the show.
That was CB, yeah.
That was CB, yeah, yeah.
Bill liked my tweet after I tweeted at him. Like, I was like, hey, I got some producer names for you, dude. Like, Mike Bill made it.
Mike Bill made it. Nice.
Dortoven.
Yeah. No, I was gonna say, you might have to take the lead on that. I don't think the folks there, John Bianco, Thomas Step over at Texas, are gonna allow me.
Oh no. I'm gonna have to hit him up on Twitter and be like, hey dude, you wanna come on my show? We should have Dylan DeSue on, though. I think that's very much a thing that will happen soon.
Yeah, not DeSue. DeSue got out of Texas. We can get him come here and talk about RT in the year and just chop it with Double D. Love covering Double D.
One of the best guys I've known in covering sports for however long I've been doing it. He's one of the best guys I've met.
Oh, man. All right. So Reggie Bush gets his Heisman back. And
stepped in a bear trap, didn't you, Eric?
I stepped in the bear trap. I forgot. Just off. You know what's funny is I did this earlier this year when I tweeted out something about being tired of, and I'm sure anyone who's listening to this or watching this, you've been to a sporting event or you've watched one on TV and you hear them playing Mo Bamba, you know, Shaq West, Mo Bamba. And I'm like, yo, can we kill the Mo Bamba thing? And clear-headedly, I forgot where Mo Bamba went to school. And I was like, oh, I guess I can't say that around these parts, huh? Y'all still rocking with Mo Bamba. Like, so fair enough. Like, let's just kill the song. Because, you know, it's like we cover games. And you got, you know, your usual songs you hear, the staples. But I'm just tired of the Mo Bamba. Anyhow, yes.
I stepped
into it with Reggie Bush. But I'm just going to give you my take, man. And I don't know how strongly you feel about it or not.
I have a take, but let's hear yours.
It's not about who should have won the award. So Vince Young, talk about an NCAA football superstar right there, the video game. I used to love getting Vince Young. Side note, Keenan, like, certain plays were unstoppable. Vince Young on the rollout, NCAA
rollout football. Yeah, bootleg, it's over.
It was the same thing. Chris Pettit says, ask Kirk Bowles. Yeah, you know, I need to ask Kirk one day about why why he didn't vote for VY. I should ask him that. Nevertheless.
Shouts out Kirk, by the way.
Shouts out to Kirk.
All right, man.
Huge Vince Young fan. So it's not about that. It's, listen, everything that's going on now in college football, while it's more in our face, it's legalized. I said this the moment that the transfer portal happened. I actually wrote a piece for this for my old publication. I said the era of college football free agency is here. And some fans pushed back like, oh my God, free agency. I wouldn't go that far. I'm like, yo, this stuff has been happening. And that was me covering small time group of five football at that level. So, you know, I had someone, because I tweeted, you know, long overdue or something like beyond overdue, right? And someone on Twitter was going at me saying, how can you say it's beyond overdue? Dude, if you don't think what's happening right now hasn't been happening for years, we can go back to, you know, the Pony Express days and even, you know, like the Fab Five days. I don't care. Reggie Bush, he shouldn't have lost that award for one day, in my opinion.
And oh, 100%.
That's the reason why I felt like it was beyond overdue. So, yeah, man, I think, you know, great for him. He gets it back and he gets to be a part of that ceremony. And listen, there have been people who've done much worse. And I don't think we have to venture too far to figure out who I'm talking about, who you know, maintained their at least their status of being a Heisman winner, whether or not
the guy who got his wife got murdered, that guy.
Yeah. Whether or not he kept the award, that's on his, you know, piss poor management of his bills. But he was still recognized as a Heisman winner. So that's my thoughts there. Keenan, what you got, my man?
I think, you know, back to OJ for like a quick second. I think that, you know, when he got sentenced on that second, the memorabilia stealing charges, they gave him like, you know, they just threw the book at him. It's sort of like when you're in a fight with your girlfriend and she gets really mad at you over like a very small thing. You're like, oh, this is about the other thing, isn't it? This is totally about the other thing, isn't it? That's what happened to OJ with the memorabilia charge. They're like 30 years. He's like, I just stole a trophy. It's like, dude, you know what you did. Like, come on.
Keaton, I hope for your sake and in your marriage, you're not like using OJ as a reference point for like fights, right? Like, that's
not really no. My wife and I, like, we don't argue like almost ever. She's super cool. I wouldn't have married her if she wasn't like extremely cool. So I lucked out.
Oh man. But no, so as far as, you know, Reggie getting his award back, I mean, do you kind of align with me that you feel like it was overdue?
Yeah, 100%, man. I mean, like you said, he never should have lost it. It's not even like, think about this, man. Those Art Briles teams at Baylor got nothing vacated.
Great point. That's a hell of a point. That's a hell of a point, Keenan.
And like, I mean, shoot, man, their fans on Twitter still brag about those days. There was one literally doing it in my mentions yesterday. He literally said, like, yeah, that's a shame, but the wins still count. It's like, so it's not a shame to you then. You clearly don't care. Anyway, let me get off my high horse again. But yeah, no, Reggie Bush deserved that award. Maybe not deserved it over Vince, but like, he deserved to have it once he won it. And I don't think Vince Young would want a rejected Heisman. Yeah, he said no thanks. Exactly. And like, I get that. And that's a homie move for Vince to do that, so Reggie didn't lose it permanently. But also, I think Vince Young won the trade. I think he wins the trade there. I think winning a natty will be better.
Oh, of course. I mean, and listen, that's one of the greatest for my lifetime. Honestly, if I'm just, you know, taking being, you know, my bias out of it.
Yeah.
That's probably the best college football game I've ever watched. I mean,
would
you agree? Because I actually, we know it's kind of a nice segue into what I want to get to next. I want to ask you again, you know, to kind of amp up some of the Texas talk here a little bit and just get some background. Keenan, man, what are some of your favorite sports memories? What years did you go to UT?
2012, not a great start. And then I dropped out for a couple of years. I finished in 2019, though.
Okay. So just from whatever time frame you want to use, what are some of your favorite memories, sports memories?
There are none, dude.
None.
No, I mean, there are a few. But, like, as a student on campus, not a lot. I mean, like, beating OU my sophomore year was pretty funny because they were it would be the equivalent of Texas last year losing to, like, I don't know. Who's the worst team in the Big 12 last year? Kansas? No, it wasn't Kansas.
No. Nah, Baylor. Baylor's pretty good. Yeah.
It'd be like losing to Baylor and then winning the Big 12 championship. So that year was funny because we were all at the state fair. There's this thing that the Texas frats do where, God, I'm aging myself, but you like ask a date to the Texas OU game and you get a charter bus and you go to Dallas and you stay in a hotel and you rent out a bar. Oh, it's like the best weekend ever. And it's like, you know, you're 2 months into college and you ask a date, she buys you a cooler and fills it with liquor and paints it. It's just really fun tradition. Yeah, 1 year we were all at the state fair and I'd been doing a bit of drinking, as you can probably imagine. And my friend was walking up to Oklahoma fans, just like putting his hand on their shoulder and being like, tough loss, man. I was like, dude, you're going to get us in trouble. Like, we're going to get beat up. Luckily, my friend was much bigger than me. But yeah, man, that's probably my favorite student memory as a Texas fan. After that, it would be probably the Sugar Bowl in 19. That was a lot of fun. A game that doesn't get talked about a lot because it was the tail end of the Herman era. But I mean, last year was the most fun I've had watching Texas football since 2009. So
what year was that Red River shootout that you're talking about that you were your friend?
I think it was 13.
Okay.
I think it was 13.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. The reason I asked is because obviously this last year was my first experience with the whole pageantry of the Red River shootout.
So great. It's the best game.
Listen, I got to admit, right? Like I was a little bit jaded, Keenan, because I've covered, not to say I've been doing this 30 years, but I've been covering college football games since 2016.
Yeah.
And you know, I've been in some solid environments covering the group of fives. And I like to think like, all right, you do this enough, the environment doesn't really like, you don't get fazed by it, right? Mm-hmm. But nah, man, like, and everyone tried to warn me. I mean, shout out to Taylor Estes, you know, former Horns 24/7. She tried to warn me. It was like, Chip, Jeff was like, listen, you get to the state fair, that AM kickoff, it's an environment. And the first thing I will say is finding my way into the state fair was a little bit challenging because I'm thinking there's like a media entrance, right? Because I got there at like, 8-something-ish maybe. And I'm like, all right, I'm just going to walk in. Nah, and the line is deep.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah. So I'm like, shit, I got to wait in this line. It's going to take forever. So I'm trying to find like a little side entrance. And I can't remember, I think it was Chip who was telling me, like, oh, there should be some entrance such and such. Jeff was like, oh, just going through. I should have said this when we're doing crosstalk with Jeff. But Jeff was like, oh, just wait in the line. I'm like, yo, I ain't waiting in the line. So
no, waiting in this line, dude.
So I saw there's like an employee entrance, but I'm the only dude in a suit walking through this employee entrance, you know, because everyone's just working like the booth, you know, they're working the booths and stuff for the fair, you know. So I think that was just a matter of, yo, like the suit got me because they're like, oh, this dude looks important.
He's very important, clearly.
Come on through, right? So I came through and then trying to find my way. And I don't know if anyone watching or in the chat, like, you know, I'm assuming everyone who's rocking with us has been to the Cotton Bowl many times and the state fair, and y'all know the deal. It was my first time. So even trying to find my way to the stadium, right? Because, you know, you get into the state fair, you can see the stadium, but you don't really know where you're going. I'm just trying to find, like, you know, follow the crowd.
Yeah.
So I ended up bumping into a couple of sports writers. Shout out to actually people who cover Oklahoma, Jenny Carlson and my man, he's been covering Barry Tremmel. Barry Tremmel.
They have some really good people covering OU.
Yeah. We've been covering Oklahoma for years, right? Yeah. I saw them and I kind of just tailed them all the way through, but then I had to try and find my way to get into the stadium, which was also another challenge because it's a very small like media entrance. But anyhow, I get up there and yes, man, the split down the middle, the burnt orange, the OU color, the rivalry was great, man. Like I can't listen. It's the one thing I will admit here, Keenan, like I love my job, love covering Texas. Won't be doing this for a while, but eventually I would like to cover an NFL beat.
Yeah,
you know, but my favorite thing that I'm looking forward to next year outside of Georgia, Texas, you know, and I'd probably say even above that is getting back to the Cotton Bowl and just, you know, that experience is awesome, man. So definitely fired up for that.
Yeah, it truly is. When you do the Texas OU weekend as a student and you win, it is truly the greatest weekend.
Yeah, and listen, I will say this. The Oklahoma fans, for y'all who may not know, we got to kind of walk out into the stadium to get to where the post game is. And the OU fans were, yeah, they were feeling it. You know, like they were, to put it politely, they were feeling it. There was one, and you know, I'm not gonna slander OU fans on this. Like I'll save that.
Why? That's our entire audience loves to slander OU fans too. Well, speaking to the choir here, my friend.
Well, because what I'm about to say, I don't know if it's indicative of all OU fans or just some one drunk dude. So here's what I'm gonna put it to you this way. Let me answer this question really quick. CB said, who at Horns 24/7 is going to Ann Arbor? Chip is from Michigan. Yes, Chip is from Michigan. Legendarily a Detroit Lions fan. I think that's going to be all three of us, CB. I think Jeff wants to tag along for that trip as well. I've got my travel booked because the flights actually aren't bad just yet. I don't mind Keenan flying Spirit.
No, I don't care. It's so quick. It's like whatever.
If it calls for it. So, yeah, I got a cheap flight. But what I was going to say was there's a member of the press corps who, you know, Keenan, a young lady, she's of Asian descent. You know, I'm referring to,
of course. Okay. All right.
We won't mention that person's name. Sure. But someone got belligerent, like in her face.
Really?
It was an OU fan. Yeah.
I would have stepped in, punched him, dude. You don't mess with my girl.
So that was one of those things that's like, all right, like, but I don't want to slander all OU fans there, but do want to bring it back, man, to basketball. You know, yeah. Wednesday, Jordan Pope is supposed to be making his announcement. We talked a little bit about him yesterday.
Yeah.
But for anyone who may not have been just, you know, rocking with us yesterday, just kind of talk about his game a little bit. And I guess really let's spin it forward. You know, let's go if he commits, if he doesn't commit, kind of your feelings on the roster breakdown.
Yeah, so I've had kind of conflicting thoughts, but I've come to a consensus. I think because Jordan Pope is like a microwave scoring type of guard, right? He's not so much a facilitator as much as he is a shoot first guy. So there is a chance I could see it going one of two ways. Say he does commit, right? Let's say he commits, and I don't know. Let's say they don't get another point guard. Do you start Pope? Do you start Julian Larry? Because Julian Larry is more of one of these, you know, guys that distributes, more of a passer, pick and roll guy, versus, you know, Jordan Pope, who's a microwave scorer. And they just, you know, they just play like, I'm sorry, I got distracted by this Toby Keith corpse question.
Nah, we got to throw that one up there. Go ahead.
I was trying to continue my thought, and I was like, did they? No. Jordan Pope, yeah. Jordan Pope, microwave scorer. He averaged like 17 points a game last year, right? So talking to a few scouts yesterday about the Texas basketball roster and saying, assuming they are to land Jordan Pope, what do you think? Some guys that are unbiased, you know, like guys that aren't going to be like, oh, Texas is going to be the best. No, that's not what these guys are about. These guys don't care. They want to be objective. So talked to like 7 or 8 of these dudes yesterday, just getting some vibes out. Couple said they'd be about 4th, 5th in the SEC with him. If they get Kevin Pelton Jr. from San Diego, maybe a little bit higher. But the thing is, man, you're dealing with Nate Oates, and you're dealing with, you know, the Big 12 is more consistent all the way down. Like top to bottom, it's a tougher conference. But the SEC, the top is tough, man. Auburn's a legitimate program. Alabama, legitimate program. Tennessee, Florida's roster this year looks awesome. Like the Gators roster this year, Todd Golden has done like a monster job turning around. The Georgia coach is turning everything.
Mike White, right?
Mike White, yeah. I knew it was Mike. I was going to say Mike Brown. Mike White. He's doing a great job. He just got Asa Newell to sign there. I mean, that guy's a bona fide top 10 pick next year. So we'll see where they end up. I like the focus on scoring, though, and I like the focus on putting more mature players around Trey.
So let me ask you this, because this is kind of, you know, kind of give you my two cents in terms of, I think if they get Pope, that at least solidifies the backcourt in my mind. And we talked about this a little bit on yesterday with Trey Johnson. You know, he's someone who has been kind of been a fellow Dallas area guy, and Tyrese Maxey, you know.
Yeah, that's kind of
he kind of hinting at, you know, that they've been trying to link up together and kind of, you know, take some things, and Trey trying to learn from him. if he can get that kind of ball handling ability, and I guess we'll not even call it ball handling, but playmaking ability in my mind, right? Because I think we think of Trey Johnson, we think, all right, we finally got a consistent score. Someone's going to fill it up, you know, 15 plus points a night, consistent shooting. But if he can be that type of playmaker, okay, things don't feel as bad if you don't get Jordan Pope. Because like you said, you still have Julian Larry, someone who at least is familiar as being that kind of distributor. But I think especially, Keenan, if they're not able to secure a big, and I mean, I think they're going to get a big, but let's
just get one. I just don't think it'll be Garrison.
They won't make, and that's my, I was going to say, if they don't get Brandon Garrison or if they don't get Rytus Petraitis, right? Like, then you kind of come down the board a bit as far as the bigs you're targeting. Then I think that guard play is paramount. Because for me, Keenan, look at UConn. That's a team that was led by two just stud guards in my mind. Guard play really can make or break, in my opinion, you know, your chances in college basketball.
Definitely.
So I think there is some hope. There's some potential if they don't get him. If they do get him, though, then I feel that much more confident heading into the SEC, regardless of whether or not they get that big. But I do want to ask you this really quick. From the guys on this roster, who is kind of, you know, and it can be anyone. It can be a big, give me a guard, whoever. Let's take Kendall Weaver out of it because I think that's the trendy pick. Who is someone who you're really looking at to be like, all right, I need them to make a real significant step in their development next year?
Transfers or returners or both?
Returners.
Returners. Oh, shoot. There just aren't a ton of returners that are going to maybe start next year. I don't know. Who all's returning other than Weaver?
Well, I mean, look at it this way. I guess
Devin Pryor, I guess.
Well, I think Caden Shedrick's going to start.
Shedrick is obviously it then, because the problem with Shedrick, man, he reminds me a little bit of Trey Mitchell, former Longhorn Trey Mitchell, played for Kentucky last year, in that he's a skilled big, but he's not physical, and he doesn't handle physicality well, and he turns it over when he gets physical, or he commits an offensive foul, or he has trouble, he loses confidence. When he's bodied up by a guy, you know, say he has to guard Brandon Garrison, that's a great example, is like, he's going to struggle in that matchup with a physical, big, athletic guy. Because, again, Shedrick is skilled. He's a good basketball player, but he's not an elite athlete, and he's not super strong. So, honestly, man, if I had my way, I'd be trying to recruit over Shedrick.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with him. I mean, he's not the priority to recruit over, obviously, but, like, they really need physicality in the post, man, in the SEC, and I mean, they needed it last year. They didn't really get it. You know, Dylan Mitchell was basically a big, but he wasn't big enough to be a big. He played like one. It should be interesting to see what I don't know that. I also don't think Rytus Petraitis is good enough to solidify your front court either. I think they need to go head hunting. I think they need, I mean, a lot more dudes are going to enter, man. You know, this thing is not over yet. There's a lot more time to go. And everybody thought Amari Williams was going to be their top target, and he didn't even visit. So things move so quickly in the portal, especially in college basketball, that it's like, it's hard to plan anything ahead of time as far as like who's going to commit where, you know.
I'll give you my take. And I knew I was kind of hard on this guy yesterday, but Zarek Onyema has the physical makeup to be someone who should be banging down there in the low post. You talked about Caden. Caden's not soft. Like, Caden is a big dude. He's not soft. However,
I'm not calling him soft. I'm just saying physicality is tougher.
Right. And to be clear, I'm not saying you're calling him soft.
Okay. Right. I was like, I don't want him to be like insulted or something.
No, not saying you're calling him soft, but physicality is something, you know, I look at kind of Texas, that first game against Texas Tech, they struggled with a guy like Warren Washington. Right. Veteran big, like, and granted, Caden got banged up in that game with the back, but Zarek Onyema is someone who I think if he can round out his game, the issue with him, I think, and you saw this offensively, man, is when that ball hits his hand, it ain't leaving. It's boom, dribble,
pass baby out. Baby hook.
Yeah. And sometimes you didn't even get the pass out, right? It just was that baby hook. So I'd like to see him kind of round out his game a little bit more. But again, like, I do think there's reason for optimism. We talked about it a bit. And listen, we'll have all offseason. You know, we got 7-8 weeks left until, you know, we really get into things start heating up with football, SEC media days, et cetera. So we have plenty of time to talk. Dude.
Football and basketball both on the mind. We'll get some baseball at some point too.
And I'm glad you said that. We're definitely good. I'm hoping to have a baseball guest on this Friday. It's definitely.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Baseball
as well. Great, but yeah, I just think that's a guy who I have my eye on. But before we get out of here,
yeah,
we got to grow into Thursday, and we know tomorrow NFL draft, big time day, probably one of the most significant days for, you know, Texas football as far as guys taking the next step in a very long time. You talked about it being a suffering Longhorns fan through that stretch. Your initial thoughts, just, you know, first round, you know, maybe some guys you think will go where, and just overall on this class of Horns who, you know, making the leap.
Yeah, I it's so good for the program to have guys get developed, because that was the problem for so long was all of the detractors were right for a long time. And the problem is they're still using the same lines they used against Texas fans when Strong and Herman were there. The difference is Sark is recruiting better than either of those guys ever did. B, he's developing all these guys. And it's not just him. It's the staff. He has a great staff. Kyle Flood might be the best offensive line coach in the country.
Sure.
You know, what's his name? Tashard Choice, one of the best running backs coach in the country. I mean, look at the running back production since he's been there, you know. I just – this day is so important for recruiting. It's so important for an indication of where your program is other than just wins and losses. It's a good indication of, okay, the NFL takes these talent developers at Texas seriously. And it's going to be multiple years in a row with a first-round pick now. They're going to have multiple picks in the first two or three rounds this year. It's going to be a really strong draft for them. They're going to have a possible top 10 pick. Like, I was listening to Nick Harris before this. Said Byron Murphy could go top 10. That would be awesome for Texas football. Obviously, Sweat caught the Dewey, which isn't great. But he'll still play in the NFL. And I think it's going to be kind of a crowning achievement for this program for Thursday night.
Listen, I have long been on the Byron Murphy train. I think of Byron Murphy. I've been calling him, you know, Junior Aaron Donald, the next Aaron Donald for a while now. I know some people are really high on the kid from UCLA. The edge who he missed a year at UCLA because he had to retire because of a neck. But I heard someone say they think he's the best defensive player coming out. I'm sorry. Like, and I know to an extent you could make the case that Byron Murphy's a one-year wonder. I wouldn't necessarily go that far. I mean, obviously he did take a huge leap in his play this year. I think he was steady when I kind of looked at some of his play prior to this year. But yeah, I think teams, I talked about this on the podcast, I've talked about this on various outlets, not a fan of teams reaching for quarterbacks. If that quarterback is not top three on your board, then what are we doing, right? You don't just draft a quarterback to draft a quarterback. I know I've picked on this guy a lot, but I think Drake May is this year's guy for that for me, who, listen, he's young. He just turned 21. I know he's not a plug-and-play guy, in my opinion. I wouldn't take Drake May over Michael Penix, over Byron Murphy. I think Byron Murphy is a guy who steps in week one and can make your interior defensive line. So I would like to see what happens. And then we got to, you know, tomorrow we'll kind of get into this, the draft order and draft board and see how things shake out.
Yeah. But
yeah, I think Byron Murphy could be a surprise. And I'm really interested. And I talked about this a little bit, and we talked about JT Sanders. Christian Jones is the guy who I saw a mock for him.
Yeah. You
know, landing in the third round.
That's crazy from 2-3 years ago. Crazy, dude.
Yeah.
He was getting destroyed as a junior.
As I was going to say, I saw a comment during a Jeff and Jordan show saying that, like, to your point, the thought of Christian Jones going in the top three rounds or top 100 picks last year or 2 years ago is wild.
Outrageous, dude. This guy could not perform well at all. It was it was pretty wild, like, yeah, to watch. Yeah. It was unfortunate for him. I felt bad for him, but he clearly, like, it's Kyle Flood, man, figured it out. I mean, this guy is absolutely just doing a bang up job on the offensive line. The recruiting is there. The development is there. The Christian Jones thing is just a great representation of how good Flood is, man. You know.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. But my hot take, as you get ready to bring Zay in, of course, Zay's in a little bit early. CB, I'm sure, will be in a second or two. But my hot take, I think Texas gets three guys in the first round.
Wow. I think, and the two receivers?
I think Byron gets in the first round. I think A.D. Mitchell gets in the first round. I think Xavier Worthy gets in the first round.
Wow.
Some of the conversation I've seen is Xavier Worthy to Miami. And that one really stuns me just because, like, yo, they need
track
help.
Stars.
They need help at other spots. But to your point, that, I mean, you pair him with Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, and maybe you're thinking, Keenan, almost that, like, you phase Tyreek out in a year or two and then Xavier Worthy steps in.
Yeah.
But that would be, just talk about that for a second. I mean, that type of speed on offense.
Track stars, bro. That would be so fun, man. So, oh, man. I'm just praying because I think Adonai Mitchell is a better pro prospect. I'm not a huge football prospecting guy. Like, I don't know a ton, but from what I've watched, it seems like the archetype for A.D. Mitchell. What up, Zay? The archetype for A.D. Mitchell is a more valuable archetype in the NFL than the archetype for Xavier Worthy would be, right? Like a big kind of catch radius kind of receiver that can body people and go up for 50-50 balls and stuff like that. I think that's probably just in general more coveted in the NFL maybe than like a speed guy like X is. But, you know, real quick, I want to ask all three of you this before we let you go. Yeah. I have a football question for the three of y'all. Who's your wide receiver one in this draft? Not from UT, just overall, because mine is Rome Odunze. I don't know what y'all think.
Rome Odunze.
Yeah. Zay, you want to go?
Marvin Harrison Jr.
Not a bad pick either.
Hype. I got to stay with the hype. There's a reason why he ain't do a damn thing in the combine, pro day. Like, I'm riding that. Those jeans, Keenan, and that name. And I think that's going to put him over the top. It's a lot of hype for him, but
yeah,
I'm going to say Marvin Harrison Jr.
This seems like a crazy loaded receiver class. Like, it seems like there's 10 dudes that are awesome in this receiving class, you know?
Yeah.
Listen, I will give you my pick as we go and send over to the fellas.
Yep.
Chip Brown, Zay Collier, but this is the person who I voted for as the Biletnikoff Award winner as a voter. Rome Odunze is who I believe is the best receiver in this draft. Hey, this has been False Start. Eric, Henry, Keenan, Womack coming at you 5 days a week, 12 to 1. We're going to pass it over to the boys. Chip Brown, Zay Collier.
Peace out, gents. Have a good one.
Thanks, fellas.
Good show, boys. Job.